This is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. On October 30th, an online conference is being held regarding the art scene in Canada. Maintaining Creativity is a yearly conference held by the Canadian Arts Network. This year, there are three panels: Women Warriors for Change, Inclusion, Where Are We Now?, and The Original Gig Workers, Strategies Towards Economic Stability. I spoke to Joy Lowen, CEO of the National Screen Institute and Toronto Metropolitan University alum, who is going to be on the Inclusion, Where Are We panel. We spoke about what is being done at the Institute to address these gaps and touch on some of the topics that the panel will be addressing. Okay, so to start out, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Joy Lowen. I'm the CEO of the National Screen Institute, and I'm one of many panelists that will be participating in the Maintaining Creativity 8, which is an annual conference that's hosted by the Canadian Artist Network. And this year's panel takes place, starts on Monday, October 30th, and there'll be three different sessions. The first one is Monday, October 30th, and that's it's titled Women Warriors for Change. The second panel takes place on November 1st at 1 p.m. Eastern, and that's Inclusion, Where Are We? That's the panel I'm on. And then the third one takes place on Friday, November 3rd, The Original Gig Workers, focusing on strategies toward economic stability.
And so upcoming, I believe it is within the next little while, you're going to be on a panel regarding not so talked about topics and concerns about artists.
Mm-hmm. Yes, next Wednesday, November the 1st at 1 p.m. Eastern, I have the privilege of joining a discussion that's being hosted at annual conference, virtual conference, sponsored by the Canadian Artist Network. And there will be three different panels starting on the Tuesday, I believe. And the panel that I'm on is on Wednesday, which is November the 1st at 1 o'clock. And I'm in chapter two, and it speaks to inclusion. Where are we? I'll be joined by Susie Lake and Nikita Carter. And the conversation will be moderated by Stephen Loft.
And so this topic of inclusion, so what are some of the issues in regarding to arts when it comes to inclusion?
Well, I think representation matters, right? Seeing oneself reflected anywhere matters. And because there is then a sense of belonging, there is a sense, an intrinsic self of value. And in the medium that I work with, the National Screen Institute, we support storytellers, the producers, writers, directors who are seeking to have their stories told and seen on screens around the world, be they big screens or small screens. And the specific work that we do really focuses on underrepresented creators, because we feel that there is a value that comes from seeing yourself on screen for your story to be told. It's through the arts that we make build some major bridges to gaps in understanding. And it is about, so inclusion to me is about quality and equity and being represented. And there is lots that's being done in this space for certain. Yeah, we all have a story to tell. We all have something in us that is important to share. And by doing that, I think that we do build a stronger nation, stronger communities. Heart for those who live outside the mainstream. And, you know, I mean, it could be, you know, Anglophones that are living in Quebec, right? Like there is just so much that we as people bring to the table that, you know, because of how we express ourselves or the skin color that we were born with doesn't necessarily jive with the mainstream. And so we want and encourage others from those underrepresented groups, those who don't necessarily see themselves in community, in the community that they live with, to feel a sense of belonging on a larger scale.
And so your organization is based in Winnipeg. You're a national organization. And what are some of these programs that you are offering to all of Canada?
Sure. Well, their program is designed for producers, writers, and directors. It's interesting, the timing. Elevate is for BIPOC producers with production companies. And one of the academic partner happens to be Toronto Metropolitan University. And so this really is a business development program. We want to seek to support and sustain BIPOC production companies throughout the country. So that program is currently, we've launched a call for applications, opened it up on Monday. Deadline is end of November, I want to say November 30th. Producers through that program will be provided with an investment opportunity. They'll participate in some academic courses related to business entrepreneurship, strengthening core business skills, and then just mentorship and, you know, opportunity to consultations with, you know, professionals in legal, banking, finance, etc. So that's one course that I would call out. Another program that we're doing is with TikTok, Indigenous Creators Accelerator. That one begins Tuesday, October 31st, and in partnership with TikTok, 40 Indigenous creators who are already on the platform are given some behind-the-scenes support and instruction to best make use of the platform and build up their brand as well as their voice as storytellers. That program will go until December, and that I would say would be for more emerging creators, whereas the Elevate program would be more established producers.
When I was contacted regarding you being on that panel, one of the topics that came up that incredibly interested me and I never really thought about was ageism that older artists face within the grander art space. So what is that issue?
The issue is that, you know, where are the opportunities, and to provide sustained opportunities to make your art, practice your art, share your art, regardless of how old you may be. And, you know, whether you're a dancer, a musician, a poet, filmmaker, you choose to, you know, inspiration comes to you at all times and in all spaces and at all ages. And really seeking to make room and opportunity for those who have been in the practice of arts for many years to, should they so desire, provide opportunities. And some of that just comes from awareness. You know, I mean, I have several writing friends who are well into their 70s, and they're every bit as creative and inspiring and engaging as the writers that I'm meeting who are 18. And so, you know, I mean, as long as there is a desire and a passion there, let's make sure that there's opportunity for those who have, you know, a bit more advanced in years to share their work. And this panel seeks to address that. Like, it really seeks to, I would say, even, you know, the series of the panels really seeks to broaden, like to showcase that here in Canada we have just such great wealth of talent, and so let's ensure that there is opportunity for that talent to shine regardless of, you know, how old they are.
And why do you think that this issue of older artists kind of being disregarded, why do you think that is the case?
Well, new is always flashy and shiny. And I think that technology hasn't necessarily done us all who are older in much favors, right? We do have to keep, you know, no longer are there typewriters. You know, my Word document isn't even making the grade. We have to be on Google Doc or SharePoint. But there is an importance to staying, to keeping up with the technology and with the issues of the day, right? Like, what was once the trends of what was once important is not necessarily the same trends as, you know, you'll meet them in 2023 and moving beyond. So, and this is the, I guess, the beauty of having the panel is that we'll be able to uncover more of the why. But, you know, I mean, I think that there is a barrier that presents itself in terms of the technology that needs to be addressed. And then just a general understanding and awareness of, you know, like, what is current and.
It seems that technology is one of the bigger, I guess, barriers to older people, because as you brought up, it's not typewriters. And it's not even Google, or it's not even just Microsoft Word anymore, but it's all these online applications. What are you doing to, I guess, help kind of bridge that gap and make it easier for older artists to be able to transition into the arts?
Well, we're seeking to understand ourselves. We're making huge investments operationally to best understand the technology ourselves. That includes everything from, you know, professional, specific professional development for several members of staff to just better understand, you know, the operating systems, the software, all of that, you know what I mean? And then we provide our training is delivered through several vehicles. So we do online, you know, using different platforms, but we also, you know, we're not exclusively online. We do some of our programs in person. We do come to different regions across the country to deliver our programs as well too. So, you know, I mean, there is this very much is within our strategic priorities to just make sure that our programs are accessible to the broadest range. And it does come with an understanding internally of, okay, well, what are the different, what is the current technology, ensuring that we understand that, and then appreciating that different, you know, I mean, if you're in the north, your access to technology is going to be very different than if you're here in the south. So appreciating that if we do want to have programs that are for older audience, that it really is incumbent on us to maybe go there physically in that case. And we do balance out our delivery of our programs so that it's not just exclusively all, you know, technologically related.
It seems to be a large part of what you're doing of helping older artists and whatnot. This is an issue that I actually have never heard of. What are you doing to, I guess, broaden that outreach and making sure that the right people are knowing that you exist and that there are these opportunities to help them?
Well, sitting on panels like this, number one, we have for each of the programs that we deliver in any given year, we're delivering upwards of like 24 different initiatives to really try and be accessible to underrepresented creators in the various shapes and forms. And in one of the programs, a program that we partner with CBC on, CBC New Indigenous Voices, we used to have an age cap, you know, 18 to 30, basically. And as of this last year, we removed the age cap. So as long as you're 18 plus, you can apply to our programs. And the outreach that we do for the programs is deep and intensive. I mean, we spend a lot of time. We do provide a lot of time for the application. During our call for applications, we make sure that between the call for applications and the deadline, there's opportunity for people not just to hear about our program, but to ask us questions and reach out to us as needed so that they can apply. And the communities that we reach out to, like the mail list that we create for the programs, are specific to each program so that we can really be as broad in our calls as possible. So I would say that those are two specific areas. We have never, I guess, in part of the reason why the there does need to be more focus and awareness to encourage the activity. And I feel that panels like this, conversations like this, is part and parcel of what we're doing to really, really reach the masses and invite opportunity for artists of all ages to, you know, yeah, share their passion.
So that's actually all my questions. Do you have any final comments you would like to leave off on?
No final comments.